And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many, bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into the tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men, the three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, and with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Watch what it says in verse 21-22. And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach, Lord, to be a help to your people. And God, if there is anyone here tonight lost, I know the Holy Ghost of God can deal with them too. And Father, I pray your will be done. Thank you for all you've done. And I'm asking for the help of the Holy Ghost in preaching. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 21 and 22, again, I want you to see something. The Bible said down there in verse number 21, it said, and they stood every man in his place. And then down there in verse number 22, there's three words I want you to see. The Bible said, and the 300 blew the trumpets. And here they are right here. And the Lord. I want to preach tonight on this subject, stand and the Lord will. Gideon is known as the champion underdog. He's the one that nobody really knew about or even cared about. Yet Gideon was called to lead God's people to victory over the enemy, the Midianites, and he practically stood alone against the false gods of Baal by successfully tearing down the altar of Baal and replacing it with an altar unto the Lord back in chapter 6, which was God's way of saying that sin must be dealt with before there's ever going to be victory. Gideon, his strength and faith, was honored by God through a miraculous victory of 300 men against 135,000 of the Midianites, known as the enemy of God's people. So can I give you a little background on the story? If you go back to chapter number 6, we won't go back there. You'll find that the Lord meets Gideon behind the wine press and he gives him a charge. Later in that same chapter of chapter 6, he gets the sign of the fleece. Many of you know the story about how Gideon's a little unsure about this war. Amen? And I would be too. Amen. There's a whole lot more of them than there is of me. But anyways, Gideon said, Lord, I ain't no sure about this. You know, I need a little help here. And so he goes out there and he says, I'll tell you what. He said, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. And let me, that'll know, I'll know that that's what you want me to do. And of course, God did that. And the next very night, he said, oh, Lord, I want to ask one more time. Let's switch this thing. He said, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And of course, God answered his prayer. And the Lord showed Gideon plainly that he was to do what God was calling him to do. And so he goes out to fight. And God said, says you got too many. I'd have been scratching my head right there too, amen. But then there's a test at the water because you still got too many. And finally, there's 300 chosen to do God's work. Now, the Bible said they stood every man, talking about 300. They stood every man in his place. Now, I want to say to you tonight, church, whether you're a member of the church, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, every one of us have a place. Whether you're there or not, I don't know. That's between you and God. But we all have a place that God has assigned us to, just as Gideon and his men were assigned to. And here's the thing. We may not like our place. We might look at the place that somebody else is assigned to and wonder why God did not assign us there. But can I say to you, dear friend, like it or not, our place has been designed by God and for God's design to function and work just like He has planned. Here's the key. We must be in our place. There are many preachers today, Sunday school teachers, bus workers, missionaries, evangelists, church members that are not in the place that God has designed for them. And many reasons is because of the overwhelming facts of life. Maybe it's hardship. Maybe it's failures. Maybe it's trials. Maybe it's just because you're lost and not saved. Maybe that's why. But can I say to you, dear friend, there's a host of stories that can be told about people, friend, that used to serve God, that used to be in the place that God had them at, and they're not there anymore. They've fallen or they've turned back on the Lord. And no doubt there's people that you and I have personally known or even heard about. And I say to you that they did not stay faithful to God. But you've got to look at these 300 here in the Bible and ask, why did Gideon and 300 have such a great victory? How in the world did they do it? I'm going to give you a few points just to try to help you tonight. Number one, can I say to you, they stood when the quitting was overwhelming. Every time they turn around, this 300, it seemed like somebody was quitting on God. Can I say to you, friend, that they started out with 32,000, amen? 32,000, which ain't very many at all. And then over there in verse number 3, let's go over there in verse number 3 of chapter 7, it says this, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people. Here's what God's telling him to do, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000. And there remain 10,000. So wait a minute. First of all, there's only 32,000 of them, and there's 130-something thousand of the Midianites. So the Midianites got 100+ thousand more than they do. And God shows up on the scene to Gideon and he says, hey, Gideon, you got too many people, huh? I ain't hearing you right, God. Oh yeah, you heard me. You got too many people. Now I don't know about you, but I'd have got real nervous when that happened right there. Amen. And God said, I want you to go to them and tell them, any of y'all that are fearful and afraid, you can go to the house. Amen. That's pretty much Jason's English. But anyways, he went out there and he said, hey, y'all listen up. God said, any of y'all that are fearful and afraid, you can go home. 22,000 turned around and walked away. You want to talk about overwhelming? And I say to you, friend, that's pretty overwhelming. Amen. What made that 300 stay there? Why didn't they walk away with the crowd? Why didn't they run with the crowd? You know, there's some people out there that whatever way the crowd's going, that's the way they're going. If everybody else is leaving, I'm leaving too. If that's the way they're going to live, that's the way I'm going to live too. But not these 300. They said, no, we're staying right here. We ain't quitting. We ain't quitting. And then, not only that, the story ain't there. You ain't done. Then only 300 of them lapped with the water with their hand. And so 9,700 more had to walk away. Hey, you 9,700, you didn't drink right. Get out of here. You know what it was? They wasn't vigilant. That's what it was. They wasn't watching, amen. The Bible doesn't say anything about these men wanting to stay. By the way they drank their water, it was obvious that they were self-interested. They were concerned about themselves and their thirst. They was not being vigilant. They was not looking for the enemy. And can I say to you, there's some out there that are looking for a way out. Matter of fact, it don't take much to get them out. You can just say one thing, one little thing wrong, and man, they're up gone. You can do one little thing wrong at the house of God that they didn't like. Next thing you know, they're jumping in their car and they're leaving and saying, I ain't never coming back. And I say to you, friend, what's wrong with us? That 300, they didn't do that. It didn't matter what happened. It didn't matter what took place. 22,000 can walk away. 9,700 more can walk away. You look at them 300, they stood there and said, I ain't leaving. I mean, they stood when the quitting was overwhelming. The Bible said in Matthew 13:21, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know what that means? That means they quit on God. That's what it means. They got offended about some little old petty thing, some little old stupid thing. And the Bible said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The Bible said in Ephesians 6, wherefore, like I preached last night, he said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. In other words, when you don't know what to do, stand. But don't ever quit on God. Don't ever run out on God. When their friends, talking about these 300, listen to me now, when their friends and family were walking away, they stood. You mean to tell me out of that 22,007 that walked away and then the 9,700 that walked away, you mean to tell me that some of them wasn't family members of the 300? Some of them wasn't friends of the 300? I guarantee you they were. But whenever their friends and family walked away, they stood. When others didn't believe in what they believed in, they stood. When others didn't care to fight for what they cared to fight for, they stood. When 31,700 men turned their backs on them and walked away and left them standing in the field, they stood where God had them. And can I say to you, when others didn't care to fight for God's people, they stood. They stood when the quitting was overwhelming. Let me ask you a question. Who's it going to take? What's it going to take whenever your friend quits, or your family quits, or your daddy quits, or your mama quits, or the preacher quits, or somebody you like quit? That mean you going to quit too? There's many that have little desire to do what you're doing. There's not many people out there to say, I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a faithful church member. I want to be involved in the work of the Lord. I want to do what's right. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be separated. I want to have a good testimony in the community. I want to win everybody that I can win. There ain't very many people like that, friend. So can I say to you, we don't need people quitting and running out on God. We need some of those that are staying in the place that God put them at. Amen. Even though the quitting is overwhelming. Number two, they stood not only when the quitting was overwhelming, they stood when the enemy was overwhelming. Look at verse number 12 quickly. Turn over there. Verse 12. Look at it. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley. Watch what it says. Like grasshoppers for multitude. You know what that means? They're crawling all over one another. There's so many of them. They're just crawling all over one another. I mean, their camels were without number. They didn't even number them. There's so many of them. As the sand by the seaside for multitude. You want to talk about an overwhelming enemy. I mean, there's 300. And there's so many of this bunch crawling all over each other. There's so many of them. In chapter 6, Gideon's threshing wheat behind the wine press, and he's hiding from them. You know why? He's afraid. He's hiding from them for fear that they may steal his provision. The Midianites and the Amalekites, children of the eastern desert, they would come down like locusts in countless swarms with their camels, their tents, and they would come to devour and carry off the fruits of the ground. But not only that, they would also rob them, and they would destroy their owners. And oftentimes, the Jews lacked the strength or the faith or the leadership necessary for their resistance. So therefore, they would seek refuge in the mountains and in the dens and in the caves, and they would wait for the enemy to leave. And can I say to you, the enemy had no mercy. Gideon's men knew that. These 300 men knew what it was like. These 300 men experienced these men. They stole their food every year. They destroyed their crops. They killed their families. And the Midianites had been the enemy of God's people ever since Joseph was sold to them out of the pit. God told Moses to avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. The children of Israel knew that the Midianites had been pricks in their sides, thorns in their flesh, for years, with very little rest from them stealing and from them murdering. Therefore, these 300 men, knowing what kind of enemy it was, it is overwhelming to them. Can I say to you, dear friend, the enemy is out to destroy you and I. Are y'all listening? Satan doesn't want you to flourish. He doesn't want you to have victory in Christ. He wants to sell us back into bondage if he can. He wants to stop you from fighting the battle. He wants to kill you if he can. Listen now, listen. He is a tireless enemy that will never give up. He will never give up. You say, Satan never going to let me go. Never, 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 never going to give up. Until you quit, maybe. Then he might, friend. And then he's going to jump on you because of that. Amen. And can I say to you, Satan's always going to be there. He's always going to fight. But we must stand when the enemy is even overwhelming. The Bible said over there, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, he said, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible said in Luke 22:31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Amen. He said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen to me now. Listen, friend. Young people, listen. Mom and Dad, listen. Satan is sneaking around looking for somebody to destroy. He's waiting for you to make one mistake. Young people, he's waiting for you to get in the wrong place at the wrong time. Y'all listening to me? He's waiting for you to hang out with the wrong person. He's waiting for you to go do the wrong thing. Sir, ma'am, he's waiting for you to look at the wrong thing. He's waiting for you to get in the wrong position. And I say to you, friend, listen to me. Satan is stealthily creeping towards his victim, waiting for him or her to make one mistake. Just like the Midianites were rulers in dark places, they desired to sift God's people as wheat and were seeking who they could steal from and devour. Satan is doing the same thing today with God's people. There's no doubt, friend, there's no doubt at times that the enemy is overwhelming to you and I. But we must stand. Are you listening? The heartaches are going to come. The struggles are going to come. The temptations are going to come. The difficulties are going to come. The loneliness is going to come. But can I say to you, parent? Can I say to you, preacher? Can I say to you, teacher? Can I say to you, young couple? Can I say to whoever you are? The enemy might be overwhelming, but stand in the place that God's got you at. And these 300 men, they stood when the enemy was overwhelming. Let me give you something about Paul. 2 Corinthians 11:23-28. Listen to what Paul went through. He was an apostle. Listen to what he went through. He said this, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Stay with me. He said, I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure. He said, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths, oft. Listen, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, he said, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. But he stood. He stood anyway. Paul went through all that. Paul, friend, was stoned and beaten in his shipwreck, floating around in the sea for overnight. I mean, he went through a difficult time. People tried to destroy him. They tried to kill him. What could we say? Hey, I'm not trying to diminish your hard time. But what could we say? 5 times somebody talked bad about me. 10 times the door's been slammed in my face. 1 time I was spit on. Or maybe many times a brethren or church member walked out on you. Or maybe you've had perils in the street and perils at Walmart and perils of bill collectors. Maybe we don't have as nice a car as somebody else has or as much money as somebody else has. And there's not many here that's been probably cold, naked, and hungry or in fastings. And maybe somebody didn't shake your hand. I don't know. But can I say to you, friend, there have been some of those that have walked on before us who have stood against the overwhelming slashes of the enemy and they stayed in the place where God had them. How'd they make it, the 300? Well, they stood when the quitting was overwhelming. They stood when the enemy was overwhelming. Number three, they stood when the battle was overwhelming. Look at back to chapter 6. Chapter 6, look at that chapter number, verse number 2. Chapter 6, look at verse number 2. Y'all with me? Amen. Preacher is. I'm glad somebody is. Chapter 6, verse 2. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, because the Midianites, children of Israel, made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. So it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them to destroy the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. The Bible said, for they came up with their cattle, their tents, and they came with, and they came as grasshoppers. There it is again. For multitudes, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Chapter 7, verse number 7. It said, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, let all the other people go. Can you imagine this? I'm talking about they stood when the battle was overwhelming. There's 300 of them. Now, let me see if I can paint this picture for you. I'm not no sports guru, so I had to look this up. Dallas, Texas Stadium holds 90,000 people. That's indoor stadium. That's what I was told. There's two outside stadiums that hold over 100,000. Do you realize that there is 135,000 of the Midianites? There ain't a stadium big enough in this country to hold that many people. But yet there was 300 that was going to fight them. Take 300 people and put them in the middle of a stadium out there on the playing field, and then pack that stadium to the gills and tell them 300 people, you're going to whoop everybody in here. That's exactly about the way it is. Kind of funny, ain't it? 300 against 135,000 warriors, where the underdog is truly the underdog. How in the world can an army of 300 win a battle against a host of vicious men that enjoy killing people? You know what I can hear? I can hear the world, the 31,700 that walked away. You know that crowd that said, no, we don't want anything to do with us. We're getting out of here. That 31,700 that walked away, I can hear them laughing and mocking that little army of 300. You know, maybe they cried out something like this. You're done for. We'll be seeing y'all, maybe. You're dead, man. Hey, you're a fool. I can hear him now. We'll tell your wife and mother not to expect you back. Can I say to you, friend, the world was against them. Their family was against them. The odds was against them. Everything about this battle is overwhelming. How in the world could 300 beat a host of professional killers? I mean, I see some of them saying, hey, you better come on and go with this. No, I'm staying. Man, you're crazy. Can you see that happening? You are stupid. You know what the Bible said in 1 Samuel 17:47? It said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That's what David said. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, sounds like this story right here, don't it? He said, be not afraid of them. He said, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Listen to me, dear friend. God had already told him. He said, hey, whenever you go out against this enemy, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. Now, that might have been very hard to do, but these 300 did it. Whenever David went and fought against Goliath, he did it. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Listen, when your battle's overwhelming, it's not your battle. It's God's battle. You hearing me? Let me say to you, friend, it's not your battle, preacher, it's the Lord's. It's not your battle, Christian, it's the Lord's. It's not your battle, mom and daddy, it's the Lord's. It's not your battle, young person, it's the Lord's. Here's what's happening. Listen to me now. Here's what God wants. God's looking for those that'll blow the trumpet, break the pitchers, let the light shine, and stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. Let me give you some verses on it. He said, blow the trumpet. Well, the Bible said in Isaiah 58:1, he said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a what? Trumpet, he said, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. In other words, we don't need men and women quitting on God. We need and running away and living a defeated life. We need some men and some women today that are standing in the place that God put them at. Cry aloud, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Amen. Tell people about Jesus and be in the place that he told you to be at. Then he said, break the pitcher. Well, the Bible said over there in Jeremiah 18:4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. You know what that means? God said, blow the trumpet. Then he said, break the pitchers. You know what that means? Willing to be broken. We don't like that, do we? Matter of fact, that's when most people run. Whenever the breaking time comes where God's trying to mold you and break you, friend, that's when most people run away from God. But M.R. Dehan said this in his book. He said, before the house is built, the tree must be broken. Before the foundation can be laid, the rocks must be blasted. Before the ripe grain can cover the field, the soil must be broken. And God said this. God said, before the lame man was healed, the roof was broken. Before the multitudes were fed, the bread was broken. And before we could be saved, Christ was broken for you and I. In other words, church, willing to be broken in the overwhelming battles of life. It's not time to run. Whenever hard times come, it ain't time to run. He said, blow the trumpet, break the pitcher, and then he said this, let the light shine. The Bible said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. God needs men and women today that are willing to do all they can do for the Lord. Blow the trumpet, be broken, shine for Christ, even though the battle's overwhelming. And then stand in the place that God puts you at and watch the salvation of the Lord. The Bible said in Zechariah, he said, not by might nor by power. He said, but by my spirit saith the Lord. In other words, it wasn't Gideon's might. You agree? It wasn't his power. It just like it never will be your might. It never will be your power. But it's his spirit and his power. And when the battle's overwhelming, just stand in the place like Gideon and the Lord will. Let me give you another one. I'm done. They stood when the quitting was overwhelming. They stood when the enemy was overwhelming. They stood when the battle was overwhelming. And then they stood when the darkness was overwhelming. Look at verse 9. The Bible said it came to pass the same night. Look at verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. They say the middle watch is sometime between 11 and 1 in the morning. They're in great darkness. Now stay with me. There's no street lights. There's no artificial light. It's a fearful time. Are you with me? It's a dark time. It's a lonely time. You ever been there? Picture 300 men standing in the midnight darkness with 135,000 men really close to them that would love to kill and destroy them. This 300 men that we're talking about, they don't know what's going to happen. They ain't read the story yet. Are you with me? They've not read it. They don't know the rest of the story. In their flesh, like you and I, they watched 31,700 walk away in their flesh. They have no idea what's going to happen. All they know is dark. They can hear, friend. They can hear all the rustling and all the noise of the enemy, all the banging that's going on and the hollering and the laughing and all the mess that's taking place. They can hear it all. But there they sit in the quiet darkness. And they stood with faith in God, willing to accept whatever happened. Don't miss this. They were risking their life on faith. They were risking it all. 2 Timothy 3:1, the Bible said this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous means this, church. It means dangerous. It means hazardous. It means full of risk. And I say to you, we're living no doubt in some dark, perilous days. And there's no doubt we live in a day, friend, where sin abounds. Where the filthy lifestyle of people of this world are vulgar, they're gross, they're sickening, they're bold, they're nasty with reprobate minds. But Christ said this, church, listen to me. Christ said, Romans 5:20, He said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. He said, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, it looks to us that the church is being crushed in the darkness of sin from the world that is around us. It looks to us that nobody cares about what we have to offer them. It looks to us that the darkness of sin is overwhelming. And it even seems that we're going to be defeated. It looks to us that we will never recover from the power of darkness and see revival again. It looks to us that there's only a few out there that are trying to fight in this overwhelming darkness that we live in. But can I say to you, church, it's not time to give up. It's not time to get discouraged. It's not time to run out on God. It's not time to quit your job and quit serving the Lord. It's time to stand in the place that God puts you at and never run out on God. Even though it's dark, Even though the world is full of lust, full of fornication, full of adultery, full of sodomy, it's full of sorcery and murder and terrorism and lying and cheating and stealing and divorces and pornography and a host of other sins. God said this. He said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We are on the winning side, no matter how it looks. And I say to you, friend, listen to me. If they can stand, we can stand. Jeremiah was in the dark dungeon and sunk in the mire. Paul and Silas were in the dark prison singing praises unto the Lord. Daniel was in the lion's den praying to his God. John was on the Isle of Patmos night after night by himself. David was in the dark cave running for his life. Elijah was living in a dark world with a queen that wanted to kill him. And they didn't quit on God. They stood when the darkness was overwhelming, when everything didn't go right, they stood. Let me ask you, why can't we stand? Why can't we stand in the dark world that we live in? I understand that the world's filthy. I understand it's wicked. I understand that the politicians and all the mess is so corrupt and ungodly. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that God's people can't stand in the place that God's got them at and be faithful to Him and serve Him. Listen to me. The Bible said they stood and the Lord. You know what the 300 men did? They went out there. It's amazing. Went out there with a trumpet, with a lantern, with a light. Can you see them 300 men looking at Gideon saying, are you serious? He said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to blow the trumpet. You're going to break the pitcher. You're going to let the light shine. And you're going to shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And then what are we going to do, boss? You're going to stand. Amen. And that's what they did. You read your Bible. They went out there. They blew the trumpet. There's 100 over here. There's 100 here. And there's 100 over there. And then Gideon started it. And they all followed suit. They blow the trumpet. Bam. Break the pitchers. Let the light shine. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And that bunch killed one another. Read your Bible. That's exactly what happened, friend. Listen to me, dear friend. Listen now. Listen. It's not my battle. And it's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. He's just looking for those that stand in the place that God put them at. You stand in the Lord to fight your battle. You stand in the Lord to build your ministry. You stand in the Lord to build the church. You stand in the Lord to help your financial trouble. You stand in the Lord to answer your prayer. You stand in the Lord to give power in preaching and teaching and soul winning. You stand in the Lord to let those visions and dreams come to pass. You stand in the Lord to fix the problems. You stand in the Lord to give strength over the overwhelming quitters of life. You stand in the Lord to give strength over the enemy. You stand in the Lord to give victory in the battle. You stand in the Lord to give light in the darkness. But stand! And the Lord will. Amen. He said, having done all to stand. You know what that means? That means you tried it all. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Grace, you can come. You say, preacher, I've tried everything. Okay, stand. Well, I don't know what else to do. Stand. Well, I'm discouraged. Stand. Well, I messed up on God. Okay, get right with God and stand. And my life is dark. Stand. But don't ever quit on God. Don't ever run out on God. We need preachers that stand, Christians that stand, daddies that stand, mamas that stand, teenagers that stand. The Bible plainly said, stand, and the Lord will. Let me ask you a question. What do you need God to do? How are we going to expect God to do anything if we quit on God? Can I give you a little illustration? I don't mean to mention this too much, but it's heavy on my heart. We're praying about that bus that we need, and I ain't doing it so... And if you think that we're doing it so we live luxurious, you're crazy. I mean, don't even think that stupid, okay? We're doing it so we can serve the Lord and travel this country with a family of 8. Amen? So we can go anywhere and serve the Lord, be a help to my family. That's what we're praying about. I got that trailer over there that's anciently old. All right? Noah saw it. I'm just kidding. That thing's old. And I've been praying, God, can we have one? Now let me tell you something. I've been praying for a long time. I've had big offerings given to us. I've had little offerings given to us. We got little boys giving us money. It breaks my heart. I'd be a fool. If I said, well, God ain't going to do it, I guess. Forget it. How come we don't have faith in God? What do you need God to do? If I said, you know what, we're done. I'm off the road. I'm getting out of here. I'm tired of traveling like this. It's too hard for my family. It's too tough. You know what? I mean, my family's having a great time. I'm the one that's going through the fight. Amen. They ain't got no worries. You know, praise God. We get to play and sing and have a good time. Hallelujah. Daddy's over there. Oh, God, help us. I mean, if I was to say, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm done. I know there's been so much given. I know that people's praying. But you know what? I'm tired of waiting. It's just too much. I'm done with this. And I got out of the place that God put me at. You know what I'd miss out on? I'd miss out on the blessings of God. The Bible says, stand and the Lord will. All depends on if you're willing to stand or not. Let's all stand to our feet. Altars are open. Father, we sure love you. Lord, I pray you take the message. Be a help to you and your help to your people. Thank you for your help. God, may your people be faithful to you. God, there might be some here tonight that's not saved, and I wish they'd come. Let the preacher or somebody take a Bible and show them how to get saved. Father, thank you for Christians. It's the best people on the face of the earth. God's people. Lord, I thank you for God's people. Lord, everything we have, everything we get to do is because of God's people and God. Lord, please help them. Help them to stand and be faithful to God. Family might quit. Friends might quit. Preachers might quit. Kids might quit. God, hard times may come. The enemy try to destroy them. But God, I pray they'd be faithful to you. Holy Ghost, speak to hearts, please, I pray in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anyone here tonight that would... maybe you'd like to come and we'll get a Bible. Show you how to be saved. Preacher standing right down front just for a moment. Is there anyone here that say, preacher, if I died, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Why don't you come tonight? Let the preacher get somebody to take a Bible and show you how to get saved. There's nothing better than being a Christian. It's the best life that I've ever had. I had 19 years of not being one. But ever since then, it's been wonderful.